Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network. Joining us is Combest Sell & Associates managing partner Tom Sell. Report here given to Politico. Let's talk about that. Dive into the details of that report and what people are talking about with that.
Hey, Whitney. Thanks for all you do. And I appreciate the opportunity. GAO, for your listeners, it's called the government, ironically, called the Government Accountability Office. It's a bureaucratic organization that is meant to kind of look at the spending and the policies of the federal government, really provide analysis. In this case, again, they provide a lot of value judgments and kind of take a swing at the federal crop insurance program. And this isn't new. GAO has been issuing these reports. They kind of reprint it, seems like, every couple of years. So in one sense, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, there's GAO speaking again. It's kind of a boy who cried wolf type of story. They do this every so often. They've never been a fan of the federal crop insurance program. But, you know, obviously what matters is how do the members of Congress and how does the administration feel about it? Not, you know, like federal crop insurance, largely because it's so valuable to producers across the land, is seen as an amazingly, you know, tailored and good and reliable program for farmers across the country. So it kind of goes against the rhetoric of this farm bill, where the pillars of the Ag Committee, Chairwoman Stabenow, Chairman Thompson, their ranking members are all just very strongly supportive of the federal crop insurance program. Again, because I think it's just so reliable. It's delivered in a way that the indemnities are paid in a timely fashion. You know, there's so much good that can be said. So, but yeah, what questions do you have about it? I kind of went into it there.
So, I guess some of the comments just from the article we were reading here. Farm organizations, of course, are not thinking that that's the correct analysis, I guess. What impact would that reduction that was suggested, 15 percentage points, what impact would that have to farmers across the country?
Yeah, you know, they call themselves a government accounting office, but the analysis on the true effects of that are not well done in this study. It's just kind of a hack job. But it would certainly undermine, you know, the delivery system, which is an amazing kind of risk-sharing setup between the federal government and these AIPs who take on a lot of risk. You know, the federal crop insurance annually, you know, pays out more in indemnities to farmers. Some years are better than others. You know, in an ideal year for farmers, no indemnities are paid out because everyone made their crops. And that's a beautiful thing. So there are years where the federal government actually makes money on federal crop insurance by the underwriting gains from the premium that they collected from farmers. But farmers, in return, get this very reliable, tailored risk management tool that allows them to farm better, to use their assets to maybe buy new technology or farm better, take care of their land better. So, I think crop insurance has this great kind of magnifying effect of the farmer's resources and ability to invest in his farm for the future and going forward. So I think that's why it's such an important tool. These suggested cuts are very kind of academic and you know, you can tell it's written by people who really don't have any experience in the business world or how things actually come together, aren't actually taking on risk of their own. They're getting paid a paycheck and kind of analyzing what other people are doing. It's just not a well-crafted study. And it would certainly undermine this program in general. Not to say that there aren't areas where federal crop insurance can be improved, should be improved. And there's kind of this constant ongoing, and I really think the competitive nature of it, the fact that you have agents competing to do a better job and companies competing for the farmer's business, that model is actually working extraordinarily well to serve the needs of farmers across the country. And again, you know, it's actually over time paying out more indemnities than it costs the taxpayers. So it's actually leveraging dollars even in its own design. You know, you contrast that to like this current FSA disaster program where you know what the taxpayer dollars are going out. And it's just, you know, there's a lot of frustration in the country right now that it's not reliable, it's not equitable, in the way that it's being done. So I think that's why crop insurance has the level of support it does in Congress, because people know exactly what they're getting into.
And another piece of the suggestions, I believe, if I was reading that correctly, was an income cap for eligibility on certain programs. Is that, what does that mean?
Yeah, so this is another kind of hobby horse of theirs. They've gone back to this well many times, and Congress has roundly rejected it many times. The idea is exclude folks of greater means with higher incomes or with higher net worth or adjusted gross income. You know, the theory, the very callous theory is, oh, they don't need any help on subsidy, and so let's get them out of the program or exclude them from federal crop insurance and just focus on, certain farmers of certain types. The problem with that is it undermines the actuarials. You know, federal crop insurance is, you have a nationwide target loss ratio of 1.0. You need, in any insurance concept, you need as big of an actuarial pool as you can get. The bigger that pool is, the more you spread the risk and the lower rates are for crop insurance or any insurance for that matter. And so you would actually have an undermining effect for the farmers in that way. If you exclude some of the wealthier farmers or families that are out there from the program, then you're left with a smaller and arguably more risky risk pool, which is going to mean rates have to go up for everyone who is participating in the program. So it's kind of a classic divisive politics, let's divide and conquer and try and split this thing up. The critics like Environmental Working Group and others have been advocating for these kind of divide and conquer strategies for years. And now here, sadly, you have federal employees, the GAO, embracing this idea as they have in the past. The good news is Congress has roundly rejected this as late as the last Farm Bill, certainly the 14th Farm Bill. This idea has been around for several years, and Congress has consistently said, now, we need as big of a risk pool as we can find. We should have this available to all producers out there, because the American producers have to endure more risk than the average business. You're dealing with weather, you're dealing with markets that are obfuscated or distorted by the actions of foreign governments. The American farm family, big, small, all types, all across the nation, face extraordinary risk, and we need to have a federal crop insurance program that is available and supportive of all. And look, the beauty of federal crop insurance is it's very tailored to the area. So farmers in the best area, they pay less in premium because they have a lower risk of loss. And those in the higher risk areas, they pay a lot of premium because they have a higher, potential for loss. It's the same concept as any insurance, as car insurance in a high theft area versus a low theft area. I think everyone kind of innately gets that concept. And again, to start kind of parsing that out and say, oh, we're not going to provide insurance for those in the better areas, that only undermines that actuarial pool. It'd be like saying, we're not going to have health insurance for the healthy. We're only going to have health insurance for those who are sick all the time. Well, what's going to happen to the health insurance rates? They just skyrocket. So it's just bad analysis by GAO.
And do you believe that this might have any lasting impact? It might become part of the conversation then as we work toward the next Farm Bill?
Well, it's always part of the conversation, and that is the essence of a Farm Bill, where everything comes under review. And there are a couple of senators who actually requested this study, and there are some opponents of. There's a group of members of Congress that maybe don't understand, come from urban areas, don't really understand the impact and the risks that farmers face, and just kind of have a callous attitude. And so, there are some folks who might embrace these concepts. But again, just remember, and for the listeners, this is important. Farmers and ranchers across this nation have a very good reputation in the eyes of the American people. That was manifested the last Farm Bill. Remember that the Farm Bill passed by more than 80% in both the House and the Senate after rejecting bad ideas like this. I feel like that support has only grown. Post-pandemic, people became more attuned to the needs of family, the need to secure a domestic food supply and stand by our nation's farmers. So I feel like we're in even a better place. So reports like this will go out. Critics like the UWG or the American Enterprise Institute will still publish their ideas to raise money, or for whatever reason they do it, trying to kind of bite the hand that feeds them. But agriculture can and should stay strong. I don't really consider this study to be an extraordinary threat. We'll beat this just as we have in the past, because the truth is on our side. The reality of this program is it is functioning at a very high level and providing really meaningful risk management protection for farm families across the nation.
All right. Anything else that you want to touch on farm bill business-wise before we let you go?
Well, it's a good thing. I'd just say, it's a good thing the farm bill was extended. Obviously, the hopes of getting a farm bill done in 2023 were great, and we had great leadership from Stabenow and GT trying to get it done, but there were just some intervening events, so now it has to get pushed. It's a good thing that we have the baseline taken care of, so the policies are extended for the 24 crop year. But I feel confident that the leaders, those four pillars, Stabenow and Thompson and Bozeman and Scott, are going to press forward to really try and get this thing done in the first quarter of the next year. And we're going to be right beside to try and be the voice for farmers across the nation and come out with a strong farm bill out of this.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time to talk with us here today. Again, Tom Sell joining us on the Red River Farm Network.
Thanks for all you do, Whitney.